Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we grasp and wrestle with it now, help us to see how it applies to us, that we would be your people. Amen. Well, it's great that we've got to this part of Romans. I'm excited. Phoebe, is she here? Is she here? Phoebe? She'll be here shortly, I'm sure. Priscilla and Quilla? No, you're not here either. Epenetus? Yeah, I'm sure. No, I haven't seen you either. Oh, come on, there's got to be a Mary. Praise the Lord! So, ladies and gentlemen, let's greet a Mary. This passage, as you read it, first of all, you're there kind of going, my heart slightly sinks as I see this register or genealogy or what appears to be a list of people, all of whom, apart from Mary, and not here, but not with us. So what's this passage got to do with us today? Well, actually, that's really important for us to grasp, is actually there are many things. Clearly, we are not the original recipients, but actually we can learn from Paul, we can model what he did, and we can be massively encouraged, because God hasn't changed, and actually his church, the names might be a little different, but the application, I think, will be just as appropriate. Pete, have we got a PowerPoint? Nate? All right. Well, it's like that game of Who's Who. Have you ever played Who's Who? Where you flip up the faces? Have you ever played the kind of you've got to match the faces, etc.? I think Paul's helped us a little bit, given us an insight into some of the Who's Who on his journeys. And he's writing this letter. And actually in it, it is rich with theology. In it, there is loads of stuff that teaches about ecclesiology. There's loads of stuff in here that teaches us about missiology. But as we go through, we haven't got loads of time, but we're hopefully going to glean a little from this wonderful letter. Hooray! Praise the Lord. No, it doesn't work. What does that mean? I've seen it. It's there. Praise the Lord. Good. Well, here we go. Let's see if this works anyway. Hey, there's your who's who game. Well, the truth is this. Is he name-dropping? I don't think he is. Is he playing a guessing game? No, I don't think he is. What he's doing is something like this. You look at the photograph and they mean nothing to you, or at least some of you. I know Steve recognises one, if you take his beard off. But actually, they mean loads to me. Those boys, we've known each other for 30 years, and actually we've served together. We've delighted in seeing how God has used and grown each other. You've got Stewie, Mikey, Johnny, Charlesy, and we never said Marky. It's just not right. But actually they were we met on camp at the age of 15 and thereabouts, and we went on camp pretty much every year. And to this day we meet once a year to encourage each other, to pray with each other, to delight in what the Lord is doing, and to cry with each other as tough times come as well. But I'm not going to spend tonight telling you about those that I've partnered in the gospel with. I'm going to help you have a look at the list that Paul's given us. We're going to look at big lessons, and because I thought 3 points is nowhere near enough, we've got 6 and then we've got 3 extra points at the end, just to keep you going. If you're like me, I will die after a short while because I'm so exhausted, but enthusiasm and energy will keep me going. So what is this passage all about? If it's not directly at us, what are the models, what are the things that we can learn from here? Well, have a little look with me. Firstly, people matter. The first thing to see is that people matter. Paul loved to mention people. that he loved to mention how wonderful they were and how it was great that gods well, bumped them into each other and they served each other, but now are in very different cities and places. We know that Paul often finishes his letter with some greetings, but have you spotted this is a very long list and actually is quite unlike many of the other letters? So what is Paul doing here? He mentions one or two people at the end of Thessalonians, Corinthians, etc. This is exceptional, so why does he do it? Well, I think in the light of Romans and all that we've been learning, actually he is delighted to tell the Romans, you're not on your own. In fact, actually, there are some amazing people in your city serving Jesus. And you might not know about them, but actually you might bump into them. And if you do bump into them, greet them and love them. For they have been a real blessing to me. That's what we get here. We get 26 individuals, 2 families, 3 churches. And the first thing is that people matter. It is surprising in Romans 16 that actually he hasn't even been to Rome. He's not even been there. And he's listing off these people. He's showing off. No, he's not. What he's doing is this, is that God has amazingly brought those great saints to your city where you are living as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, that they may encourage you as they've encouraged me. That's what we see. And he loves them. He loves each of these people and he values them. And he knows their names and he knows their gifts and he remembers the stories come flooding back of all that they've done together. Isn't that encouraging? Is that like you and me? Can you recall the people? I'm guessing you can. But do you delight in? It was lovely to hear earlier on, Tim, as he stood up here. He mentioned some of the other fellow workers in Christ that we have had. Again, Gabrielle, it's lovely. I believe it's a bit of a gift that you're here. Because actually, we could have had the equivalent of Romans 16 telling us about Gabrielle, my fellow worker, who is coming, greet him, love him. Make sure that he's not lacking anything whilst he's with you. In fact, actually, Tim has been a blessing to me at Oak Hill, says David Griffin, or I don't know. But we could have had that letter commending them to us. People matter. What a joy and delight it is. Well, Paul loved people. He knew them. He knew their names, and he loved to delight in them and to tell others to greet them. Now, the big lesson here is not for us to feel guilty that maybe we don't know people's names. Oh, you know, I can't remember who it was, but they're there, and you might bump into them. They're kind of this high. But the truth is this, is that actually we know God knows. God knows everyone's name. But isn't it lovely when you come to church and people know your name? Isn't it lovely when people come to church and people know your gift and how you've worked together and you've worked in partnership in doing this or that or the other for the glory of God? We should delight in that. And we should be a people who delight in people, for they matter. How encouraging. Welcome matters. That's the sixth thing. What's the word that comes up time and 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 time again? Greets. Greets. Paul loved to acknowledge publicly his co-worker and friends. And he wanted to make sure that when Gabriel came, that he wasn't going to be just ignored. But actually, he'd be loved and greeted. He'd be warmly welcomed. That's what he wanted. We have a ministry of welcome in this church. But the truth is this, We all have a ministry of welcome in this church. The question is whether you do it. You don't need a label. You don't need a badge. You don't even need to be on a list. But actually, it's our job and joy and delight to welcome people, to find out about their journey. And you might be surprised how people bump into people. Even earlier today, I found out someone went to Ashford, to a Baptist church. Annalie sends her greetings. Hang on, she's not even a Baptist. What was she doing there? She's supposed to be in Eastbourne at an Anglican church. That's what we get here. That encouragement. That there are brothers and sisters all over the place. Bump into them, encourage them. But make sure that you are a person who welcomes. Loving people is key in a church. And Paul doesn't presume that they'll get a greeting. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have put the list down. He just says, make sure that you do. Thirdly, churches matter. Have you noticed down the list? Have a little look. You'll see popping up a couple of times. Churches there, particularly churches that meet in their house. You've, of course, got Priscilla and Aquila. Greet also the church that meets at their house. This is a letter to the church in Rome. But actually, as part of the letter to the Christians in Rome, there is an invitation to greet other churches. You know those churches that might meet and you don't belong to them? Actually, I love them. In fact, not just one. I don't have a favorite in Rome. In fact, actually, there's several. Greet them all. Love them. Isn't it great? We live in Crowborough. And there are many churches that love Jesus. And we can work in partnership with. It's a real encouragement. Help us to be a thankful people. Thankful that this town has other gospel-believing, preaching, teaching churches here. Fourthly, Jesus matters. You can't help but read this list and see that each and every person is actually anchored in Christ. Do you see what's mentioned? How great they are at playing table tennis? No? Do you see how they're mentioned? How wonderful they are at playing a musical instrument? Have you seen the kind of job that they have? The high flyer that they are? No. What do you see each and every time? They're fellow workers in Christ. He was the first convert to Christ. He was in Christ before I was. I love them in Christ. They're a fellow worker in Christ. They've been attested and approved in Christ. They work hard for the Lord. Can you see that each and every one is anchored in Christ? It is so Christ-centered. Their love and their partnership. Paul unashamedly knew that Christ was at the center of each and every one of these people, these super saints. And he loved to tell other people about them and their love for the Lord. Well, I wonder whether, as you introduce people, is that the kind of thing that you mention? Steve, have you met Steve? He's an amazing servant of the Lord. Have you met Stephen? Have you met Nate? Have you met Matt? Have you met Gabrielle? Encouragements. May we be a people that proclaim and see how Jesus truly matters. Can you say, Sarah, the fellow worker in Christ? Can you say, Adam? He was in Christ before I was. I love him. In the Lord. He's a fellow worker, or she's a fellow worker, Fiona, a fellow worker in Christ. I trust that as you go from here, I don't know which church you'll go to, but I'd love to write them a letter and just tell them how wonderful you are. Trusted and approved in Christ. Can you see yourself there in this list? Can you see yourself labeled with one of these labels? Can you see others in this way as well? For Paul, this is what really mattered. This is what really made a difference. They loved Jesus, and it oozed out of them in a way that he couldn't help but mention. Relationships matter. Notice also the list of relationships that Paul has. Who does he mention? He mentions a sister, a fellow worker, a friend, a fellow prisoner, a Jew, a dear friend, a fellow worker, a dear friend, my fellow Jew, those who've worked hard in the Lord, who are in the Lord, those who have worked very hard in the Lord, who's a mother to me. Paul's there, showing off the dynamic relationships that there is in his Christian walk. He's got those who are like a mum to him. He's got others who are fellow workers, others who are fellow sufferers, fellow prisoners. Being a Christian is about being part of a family that walk together. And you won't have everybody experiencing exactly the same thing. But actually, when you suffer, there'll be others who can suffer alongside you and encourage you and will have gone through that. There'll be others that you can identify with. When we speak of people from this church, do we just go, well, they go to the same service that I do? I don't think Paul, that would have fit very well into this list. But if you describe them as a fellow worker, or as a friend, or as a sister, I wonder whether our relationships need to deepen. That's a lesson here. F, both sexes matter. We're rattling through. If you've noticed, you probably don't think it's shocking, but probably at the time it was very shocking. But notice with the 26 individuals, there are 7 who are named who are ladies. Women were very much at the heart of ministry. And we know, and we see them here, playing a prominent role. Over the years, you just need to look at missionary books, you just need to look at our own duty, to see great godly women playing a really pivotal part in the gospel going out and being a blessing to communities. Well, here we see some of those women. They only get a little mention, only get a little snippet, but they love the Lord. They love the Lord and they're working hard. They're working very hard. Paul reminds us that all have an important place to play. So I wonder whether at All Saints, in this congregation, actually do people matter as they mattered to Paul? Are you bothered about the welcome you give other people without just leaving it to a bunch of welcomers who have badges on? Actually, are you minded of the other churches in our town, greeting and loving and encouraging and supporting them? Are you seeing in each other that distinctive Christ-centeredness that means as you introduce people, actually what really makes the difference is that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord? Have you spotted those relationships? Do you have people in the congregation that are like a brother, like a sister, like a mother to you, like a father figure to you? They're the kind of relationships Paul had. And he went all over the place. What a challenge to us to have some of those relationships too. Let me mention just 3 people. He says, slightly nervous, I've already run out of time. 3 people, quickly. Firstly, let's have a little look at Phoebe. When I said that it was theologically rich, this is a minefield. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just chuck it and then run. Because I don't have time to. No, I'm not. What I'm going to do is just hopefully, helpfully pick out the things that we can see without then fighting over what we can't see and presume. Firstly, 16, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Chintria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. There's lots just in Phoebe. He's like a sister. She's like a sister to Paul. She's part of the family. I guess, to be honest with you, that's the way it goes. We have a Father in heaven. So actually, as Christians, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so our primary way of actually addressing and drawing alongside each other should be one of brother and sisterly love, respect, honor for one another. That's how he starts. She's part of the family, as it were. But particularly, he's commending her as a deacon. The word deacon, if you look at the footnotes, it means or servant. And actually, the footnote at the bottom helps because it highlights the fact that we're not really sure exactly what this looks like. The word, or a similar word, pretty much the same root, is used elsewhere in 1 Philippians and 1 Timothy. And actually, some of it is... Well, we know deacons served in the church. We know that they had a responsibility of leadership. And we can see that in 1 Timothy 3:18. But then we get slightly confused when we say they must be... Well, they must be a husband of one wife. And then we slightly go, well, that's not Phoebe, is it? So actually, what is... Is it the same? Well, what we see in Philippians 1 verse 1, we see that actually there is a really important role that deacons make. A deacon, by the way, that's Tim at the moment. Tim Wade? He was, I don't know, proper technical term, but deaconized. Something like that anyway, yesterday. But that's the role. Actually, that's the role. Your first year of curacy, you're a deacon. It means that you're a servant, actually. That's your primary role for that first year. There's supposed to be a distinctiveness about it. There's supposed to be a testing. But actually, what do we see? Well, we see in Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. That's the picture here. And the footnote in Philippians says... Deacons refer here to Christians designated to serve with the overseers and elders of the church in a variety of ways. They're servants. So Phoebe was a servant. That Phoebe, we're not sure exactly what role she played. But we know that actually she is probably, and we're guessing this, is the only person who arrived new to the church in Rome. Why? Because she's the only one commended. And what did she probably do? She probably brought Romans, was entrusted with this letter, this amazing letter from Paul to the church. And so the likelihood is that she came with the letter. And he's asking the church to receive her in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you because she's from out of town, basically. Will you help her? Will you love her? But notice, we get a little glimpse into the kind of role that she definitely did play. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. She's an amazing supporter. Amazing patron is another word. That's the picture here. She's clearly mobile, we don't know. Maybe she's a single woman, a businesswoman. But she certainly was a woman of influence for the gospel. For the kingdom, to serve the church. Phoebe is an amazing example of someone who loves Jesus so much that she'll go to another city where she probably doesn't know anybody, bringing a letter, meeting brothers and sisters for the first time, and then probably seeking to be a patron, a benefactor, one who blesses the church in the ways that she's done before. Phoebe, a deacon of the church, a servant. What a great example. Our last two examples are Priscilla and Aquila. If you know your kind of Acts, you'll know they keep popping up. My goodness, they don't even stay in one place. They're all over the place. They go from one place to the next, and they follow Paul several times. Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Persecution had forced their first move, or at least the one that's recorded here. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. But actually, we then get this picture that he not only went to Corinth with them, he went to Syria, they went to Ephesus, and clearly are in Rome now. What an upwardly mobile couple they are. But that was no excuse for them not to get stuck in and be a massive blessing to the church wherever they were. What did they do? Well, as you greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, they risked their lives for me. Again, I've got no idea what that means. But the truth is this. They're amazing servants of Jesus Christ who knew that actually this life is not as important as eternity. So they were willing to put their neck out for Paul. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Sounds like they probably visited all of them in turn, gone from one to the next. And what would they have done at each church? Well, I wonder whether the pattern is quite similar. What did they do? Greet also the church that meets in their house. They were mobile home group leaders. That's the picture we get here. They welcome people to their house and homes. Oh, yeah. No, we make tents. Come and join us. We're going to tell you about Jesus. And people came. And a church was formed in their house and their home. Wherever they went, there were no excuses, I guess. They were a blessing to all the Gentiles in that region. Well, I hope I've given you a little bit of a glimpse of this boring list of names, which clearly are not boring. I hope it's given you a rich insight into Paul's family, brothers and sisters, fellow workers, partners in the gospel, all of whom are Christ-centered, gospel-passionate, brothers and sisters in Christ. But what I want more is not for you to have seen it. I want you to look up from the pages of the Bible, to look around this room, and to see, in reality, those who are fellow workers, partners, those who have suffered alongside, those who have commended Christ. This is the church family. Do you have someone who is like a mother to you? Do you have someone who is clearly a sister? Someone that you've taken under your wing? I think that's the lesson that we see here. Are we going to be a church that actually Paul has modeled here, who are blessing, Christ-centered, to the core, working together, making a massive impact, being the welcoming church that we should be? Well, let's ask for God's help, because if you, like me, read this list, I feel like I've got a way to go. Let's pray.